When I went back at the 6 month and the 1 year marks, that's when I went and I really spent some time with individual residents of New Orleans, including a postal worker who had had her house washed away. She was a single mom. Her house was gone. And yet she went to work every day and did what she could to deliver the mail. When I went back a year later, she was living in a FEMA trailer with her son. And while they had power inside her house, there were no streetlights outside on the street. And she would come home at night and was scared to walk down her street because it was so dark. But again, she went to work every day delivering the mail. And, you know, when I walked with her, I walked one day with her on her route. And you can't imagine the joy in people's faces when they saw a letter carrier bringing them their mail, because it meant checks. It meant connection with the outside world. It meant a return to normalcy. So that was a big deal. The post office that she worked out of was completely submerged during the storm. And so they had brought that back to life. And it was just a lot of hardworking, dedicated local people making it happen. Another agency that I spent some time with was the Social Security Administration down there. And they were busy trying to get people their checks. And they were letting people come to the office to pick their checks up. There were people who were driving checks out. They had, I remember, both the post office and the Social Security Administration had the same thing where you could just drive through. They had offices set up with tents out on the street, and you could just drive up and drop off mail, check on your mail, or the same with your Social Security checks. And this was all stuff that was just very organic, and people were just kind of slapping together, you know, whatever seemed to work. They'd like throw it on the wall, whatever stuck, that's what they went with. And it really showed, you know, the human spirit and how these people, you know, tried to make the best of a bad situation. I remember being with the Small Business Administration, where they were the same thing, set up in tents, set up in storefronts, trying to get checks and money and people coming in applying for the loans. And we, you know, now 5 years later, we just see the AP investigation, which shows that really that money didn't really make it where it was supposed to go. Not everybody who needed or applied for money got money. But a lot of different individual stories, as you said, a lot of very heroic federal employees who just, you know, despite their own personal devastation and loss, knew the importance of their jobs and went to work.
That's what I want to ask about, particularly that letter carrier. Did you at any point look at her and say, why are you doing this? Why are you continuing to work when your house is underwater and you've got a kid?
She made it very clear that she needed to work. She, you know, she needed to continue to make income and to take care of her kid. And she knew the importance of her job. And I think there was also this feeling that I got from everybody, not just federal employees, but everybody, that you know, I don't want to use this corny analogy that, you know, let the terrorists win. But, you know, if they gave up, then the storm would have won. And these were not a people prone to giving up. And they united. It brought people together. And, you know, they went to work. And she saw, I got to tell you, you know, I got a warm fuzz. And I do, when I recall this was 5 years ago. But, you know, the feeling that she got, this letter carrier got, when she would walk door to door handing people in there, everybody was out on the street. You didn't have power. You didn't have air conditioning.
Right, you're not inside.
You're not sitting inside. Everybody's cleaning out. So everybody's on the street, and they see the letter carrier coming down the street, and everything just stops. And it, you know, they all wait and they get there. And it really took her a long time to do her route, because normally, you know, she's just going from house to house throwing the mail in. But, you know, you had to stop and talk to everybody, share experiences, cry, hug. It was an incredible experience for me to spend the day with it. Actually, I spent a couple of days. I spent a day doing the mail with her. And then the next day I spent with her and her son at their home, at their trailer, and seeing what they were going through. And, you know, she was just making the best of it.
One last thought. When you're talking about the response from the agencies versus the response from the individual feds, did that strike you at the time?
Well, you know what struck me at the time? I went down with District of Columbia firefighters, nurses, doctors.
Not feds.
Not federal people. But, you know, the rap on DC is that they're the Keystone Cops, okay. You know, that they can't do anything right. And it is, you know, somewhat founded and somewhat unfounded. But nonetheless, when we got down there and I was the only reporter reporting back here to Washington what was going on down there, and I was reporting that we couldn't find anybody. As a matter of fact, that convoy of 10 buses came back with one evacuee.
One person?
One person. It was all they could find down there for a week. And we found her in Mississippi. Didn't even find her down in New Orleans where we originally went because there was so much chaos. And so when the reports came back here to DC and other news organizations started getting reports of it from my reports and people started talking about it, the immediate assumption was, well, there goes DC again. They load up the bus and they get lost. But that just was absolutely not the case. They went where they were directed to go by the National Guard and by the federal authorities that were in charge, by FEMA and others who said, go here and we'll have people, you know, yes, we, you know, DC just didn't wake up one morning and decide to drive down there.
Right.
You know, they contacted federal authorities. Mayor Williams was the mayor at the time. He contacted the Department of Homeland Security. He contacted FEMA. They put him in touch with the National Guard, and they said, here's where you go. And we went. There was this big central command center that was at actually a truck stop just outside of New Orleans. Anyone who's familiar with the highway, which I can't remember the number of, but you cross this huge bridge 10. To get across on 10. Right before that bridge, there's a huge truck stop. The military had just taken over this truck stop. And you saw first responders from all over the country. This is where you came and got your orders. And that's where we went. They gave us a convoy, took us into the city. Here's where you'll find your people. We'll load up your buses. And we get there and there's nobody there. And everybody's just kind of standing around. And they're holding their walkie-talkies. They're calling back. Oh, well, we've moved them out to the airport. Well, we truck out to the airport. Well, you just missed them. They're gone. I mean, the federal response in that sense, you know, it was just so haphazard. There was just no quarterback, and it was obvious to us. And eventually what we did, what this convoy did from the district was they just spun off and they kind of just took it into their own hands and they started dispensing. They took down, I think, 2 tons of medical supplies and they just started dispersing them individually on the street corners, to Red Cross, to local agencies, to churches that they just happened upon. Then they started going door to door to any shelter that they could find. And saying, look, we've got buses, doctors, food, gas. We took down a whole tanker truck of gasoline that they ended up giving to the National Guard. And we ended up finding one woman who had connections to the Washington, D.C. area, and she was happy for the ride back. But, you know, this is just how chaotic it was in those first few days after the levees broke.
5 years later, final thoughts?
Well, you know, I haven't been back in several years, and I do still from time to time get emails from some of the people that that I was in touch with down there, particularly one firefighter from Mississippi who told me recently, you know, their fire department still isn't rebuilt, and there are people still living in trailers. Where there were houses, there are just the foundations are left, and people never rebuilt, and they never came back. And we as the press did a great job, a heroic job, but you know, like everything, eventually we moved on to the next story, like we do in Haiti, like we do wherever there's a disaster. And so I think this kind of just points back to, you know, maybe our work isn't done as reporters, and maybe the government's work isn't done as responders.